welcome to you all for the last and sixth class in this series. I'm very happy to be here again. So I want to say before I start just what the focus as I'm holding it for this last class, and then we'll begin with a short meditation. Rather than a new topic, I'm seeing this class of focus as a way of perhaps reviewing and integrating what I think of as the most essential aspects of what I've been offering in this class. So we will be reviewing it perhaps with a slightly different approach, but it's the same essential process. So I want to say a word or two right now that's occurring to me around this, the opening meditation that I'm about to invite you to engage in. One is that for me, this opening meditation represents really a way that I want to be in terms of being present, centered, aware in all of my life. So it's a way of entering into the next 2 hours with each other and hoping that you can all intend to, as much as possible, be present to your own inner experiencing, to your own awareness of what is being shared by others, etc. So I'd like you to begin by getting comfortable and removing any distractions from your environment if you can. Take any objects away from your lap or your hand, uncross your legs, your arms, just to allow sort of a relaxed and open bodily stance. And first, bring your attention to the natural movement of your breathing. Allow slow and natural and easy breaths, full breaths. If you notice, you can bring your attention to two major dimensions of your experiencing, noticing the specific thoughts, images, stories that are floating through your mind. You can notice and identify specific emotional feelings. And you can notice the sensations, the quality of your sensations, whether they're tight, warm, holding, open, flowing, whatever they are. That's the specific form of your inner experiencing. Just notice that right now. Then there's another dimension which is around and integrated into all of the different forms. There is an essential life energy, a flow, a thread of life energy that runs throughout all of your experiencing. Can you feel it as life energy, the life force? Our relationship to this life force is a relationship to spirit or spirituality. I'm going to read a relevant quotation by Stephen Schwartz about this. When we speak about spirituality, we are speaking about our relationship to that which gives us the gift of life. When we speak about spirituality, we are speaking about a digestive process in which we allow ourselves to openly receive that which is being given in gratitude, and we return that which is being given in the form of service. It's a natural and in a very real sense is as physical as the process of digestion. We take in something alive, something pure in a way that is subtle and invisible. We transform that something within the confines of the physical body, and we return that something as creativity, as service, and as acts of love. That's the end of the quote. The essence of this approach to spirituality is first the recognition that we are in relationship to life. We're in relationship to the world at large. Beyond the specificity of events and individual people is a whole relationship. So I'd like to hear just from one or two people. These connections are important to me. If there's anything in the meditation or in the reading that particularly moved or inspired you or came alive for you, like to hear just a short sharing or comment, if you'd like to raise your hand.
I found that meditation very meaningful for me, and I found it interesting that you used the word digestive process, because in practicing what I've been learning from you, I actually used a term in inviting in, I think it was a part of myself in a practice that there actually, I think I used the word assimilation when I was describing it to the other person.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, wonderful. I really appreciate hearing that. Another few words on that. For me, digestion is a form of assimilation. It's a form of transformation. We take in energies in the form of communications, other forms of energies from others and from the world, and we actually transform it, assimilate it, and then give it out again. I see one more hand up.
Yeah, the thing that I'm touched by this metaphor is it's almost like when you drink or eat, you can't help but have it move through you. That's sort of an unquestionable aspect. And I think energetically with something that's very moving to you, like the consciousness of NVC or any other thing that's very profound, there is something about the inevitability of being a conduit and having it move through you in a transfigured sense. So really struck a very poignant chord for me. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. That inspires in me a review of, for me, this work is about a way of living. It's a construct of how we can approach our life. And I want to go over some of the elements of what I see, what I consider to be a way of living, or the essential elements of a spiritual life practice. As you remember, the way that I view a spiritual life practice, I see it as a twofold practice in this work. One, simply put, with two words, it's living our passion and living our compassion. Here's what I mean by that. Living our passion means cultivating the consciousness of our heart, being conscious of our needs, living in the flow of our needs. That means acknowledging and celebrating when our needs are being met, when we're in the flow, when we are living aligned with what we value and care about. There's a passion to that. There's an aliveness. So what I want to do is I want to live this fully as one of the elements of a spiritual life practice. And then compassion is that inevitably, given the metaphor of digestion, is that when I am not able to take it in, then there is a congestion that's going on in my system. It's painful to be congested. It's painful when there's a block. And so the second part of a spiritual life practice is cultivating the spaciousness, the non-judgmental awareness to this congested experience, to the painful and suffering experience, which means cultivating, embracing my reactivity, embracing my suffering, rather than trying to fix it, rather than trying to find solutions to it, rather than grasping for those elements that are pleasurable and avoiding those elements that are painful, which means embracing that and cultivating my vulnerability, which is to say cultivating self-compassion and compassion with others. So that in a nutshell are these two elements of what I consider to be living a spiritual life practice. Now there's more involved in terms of when and where I direct this practice, which I can go over in a little while. But first of all, I wanted to make sure before we move on, if there are any questions for clarity, because this is the foundation, I'd like to make sure that everyone is understanding what I'm saying. If you have any questions at all, wanting more clarity, wanting to understand what I'm meaning by what I just said. I see one hand.
Hi, Robert. When you said to embrace it rather than trying to fix it, the process that we've been going through when we feel something that we're supposed to identify the unmet needs and then recognize their beauty, that feels like fixing to me.
Okay. When you say it feels like fixing, help me understand what you mean by that.
So I feel sad. I didn't think I was just supposed to embrace the sadness. I thought I was supposed to go further and go through this process. So.
Well, let me say, there's some subtleties and nuances in what you're saying. We say go further. If your attention is on going further, it's possible to have that be that as your attention is on what you're wanting to feel rather than what you're feeling. It can be a form of resisting the sadness if you're wanting to be in a different place. So paradoxically, when I embrace my sadness, there's an openness. What happens is that there's a natural movement of the sadness. It releases, it shifts. that movement is not something that I try to reach for. It simply is a natural part of embracing. So I'm wondering if that helps a little bit.
It does, except that, so what about the rest of it all, you know?
Like what, the
like
rest?
Identifying the need.
I want, in my sadness, I want to, while I'm in the energy of the sadness, ask myself, or even ask the sadness, what am I longing for? What does the energy in the sadness long for? So it's not other than the sadness, it's in the very experiencing of the sadness that a need resides or a longing resides. So it's part of an open embrace inquiry process. So it's very important to differentiate between this embrace and wanting to be in a different place than I am right now. So that's the primary difference, if you can sit with that. It's not that we don't move. It's not that it doesn't, when I say, what am I longing for? It's not that I'm not open to something emerging as a result of that inquiry. That does. But it's more the energetic feel of resisting where I am and wanting to be in a better place. That's the primary difference. And it sounds like you have that understanding. Great.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. So I want to identify for me what I consider to be the essential consciousness, the essential practices, and the essential conditions, let me say. I'll just go over this quickly, and I'm wanting then to hear from you all and ask you all to engage in a question in a moment. I want to keep it concise and simple. What is the essential consciousness in a spiritual life practice? One of the ways to get that, and there may be other ways, is to ask yourself the question of your life, of you, what is the quality of life I want to live? Really, each of us asking that question, how do I want to live? So what that requires for me is at some point, and this deepens as time goes on, is it's a conscious commitment, a choice, to choose life, whatever that means for you. I believe it is a commitment to moment by moment make one's life a life of fullness, of authenticity, of compassion, of conscious living. Now, what that also means for me is the way I define integrity. Living in integrity, which is living in harmony and alignment with my heart, with my needs, my values, living in harmony with the life force or spirit. And so that's my intention, and so that's what I consider to be the essential consciousness for spiritual life practice. And then what are the essential practices? Put simply, one of the first essential practices has to do with presence. I want to remember to pause and to slow down in my experiencing. That's number one. As a function of that, I want to remember to breathe. Breathing and connecting with the feeling and sensing of the body. To be in the present moment requires being consciously connected to the body. And then, on another level, I want to remember intending at every moment, recognizing and intending my vulnerability. So these are some questions you can ask yourself at any moment. And I'll ask this of the group right now. Is my heart open? Is my heart closed? It's a very simple question, but it's very important, I found, to check in with myself at every moment. Now, it sounds like, well, it's either open or closed, but I don't think, for me, life experience is always that simple. It may be that it's predominantly opened or predominantly closed. That would be another way. Just to reflect on that for one moment, just each person, see if you can reflect to the meaning of this and ask each person right now, is my heart open? Is my heart closed? There's a couple of other questions I'll propose, but for right now, this kind of a remembering to connect, to ask oneself, to stay in the moment-by-moment experiencing. So let me ask for a couple of responses to this question. How do you know if your heart is open? Might seem like a simple question, but how would you know if it's open? What are the indicators?
I ask myself that. How do I know if my heart's open when you ask the question? And what I realized is a willingness. how willing am I to be present to what I'm experiencing? And then I thought, my heart's open. I'm realizing for myself that it doesn't mean it has to feel really wonderful, but I'm willing and I'm present. And that's how I know my heart is open. It's experiencing life in this moment, just as it is.
I love that. I love that. Thank you. I'm willing and I'm, did you say open or present?
I'm willing to be present just to what is, how it is. And that's my openness.
I also like the qualifier that resonates with me. And it doesn't mean that whatever I experience is going to be pleasant, but that I'm open to it. So I'd like to hear from you. How do you know if your heart is open?
I was thinking two things. One is of the feeling of warmth and openness in the heart area. And the other thing, feeling curious about Patria.
Okay, great. I love that. I think all of these are really important for each of us just to hear and take in. That there's a heart opening, and then there's curiosity. For me, all those are elements of how I define openness, because it makes flow possible. Thank you.
Hello, Robert. For me, it begins with just a little bit of nervousness, butterflies in the solar plexus, realizing whether I am connected or not. And in that realization of being connected, there's a willingness to risk giving voice to what's really going on inside.
Yes, I love that.
And once the voice to what's alive inside is given, it almost empowers a deeper connection and a sense of fulfillment.
I like the part of it that I'm hearing you acknowledge is in that fluttery of the stomach movement. I consider that a state of vulnerability, and there's a sense of risk and uncertainty in that vulnerability, and still the willingness to move ahead with that and share what's truly alive in you. So thank you all. I appreciate everyone's expression so far.
Hi, Robert. First of all, for me, it's about how tight is my body. That's the first thing I look at, is how tight does it feel? And is it uncoiling, is the way I think of that.
Uncoiling, yes.
And then am I willing to hear myself or hear others is the thing for me. And also that moves into, am I willing to look over the edge? And that might be about, you know, over the edge, we don't know what's there. Am I willing to look over it? Am I willing to see what's there?
Look into the unknown.
Yeah,
great. Okay. I hear these really common themes in everybody's sharing, a willingness and openness, willingness to risk. The term willing for me reflects an openness. After I ask this next short question, which is the counter to open, I'm going to just name another dimension of this. This first dimension is what I consider the broad notion of heart open. And so now I'd like to ask the same question for each person to ponder, whether you share or not. How do you know if your heart is closed? What are the elements of that? I think tracking and recognizing the specific elements that show you your heart is closed. How do you know it? What's going on when your heart is closed? Anybody wants to share that?
My heart is closed. When my jaw is clenched, I'm determined to get my way no matter what.
Yeah, okay. I heard two elements there. Physical element, your jaw is clenched, and then there's what I call the thinking element, sort of a determination to get my way no matter what. My way can be the right way, I guess, you know, as opposed to the wrong way. Does that resonate?
More important than right or wrong is that it's my way.
It's my way. Okay, I got it. Yeah, great. Thank you. Okay, let's see if there's another hand up.
Well, I've thought that I was open, but in hearing this process, there's been a desperateness to connect so with others that I've forgotten myself. And so in looking at how do I know my heart is closed, I am seeing a desperation for connection with others and fear that blocks me from being present with myself, and then I go to the future rather than be in the present.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so appreciating what you're saying. I'm hoping everyone is listening. I think you are, because this clarity of identifying all of these elements are so essential in my view. I heard you say you think you're being open, but then you sense a desperation and even a fear. I also heard, those, which is vital, is that you were leaving yourself out of it. So it seems like you might have been open to connecting to the other, what's going on with them, but you were missing in that equation. This recognition for me, everything people are saying, particularly in this element, for me is an essential part of a spiritual life practice. It's the recognition when I'm closed, when my heart is closed. Only when I consciously recognize it can I approach it and allow the transformation to emerge. Well, we have three other hands up. I'm going to go with just those three, and then we'll move on. What would you like to say?
Well, I know when my heart is closed because I find myself judging myself, judging other people. And then there's another piece to that that's kind of before that, a physical thing when I don't notice this part sometimes until later, but that I didn't even acknowledge somebody else's presence. Even if I maybe said hello to them, I didn't go deep enough to truly acknowledge their presence. So that's a more retrospective thing with the judging I often catch. But either way, it's a heart not open.
Yeah, okay. I noticed that as people share, as always, I think there are probably universal themes to these, but there are also very individualistic ways that what stands out for each person, like the unique part about just not noticing the presence of another so much, and then the judging. So, great. Thank you all. I'd like to hear from you.
The thinking element of it manifests for me as an effort to convince another person, similar to determination to get my own way, but slightly different. Convincing of my point of view.
Yeah, convincing them. Okay. See, I'm guessing that was fairly easy to recognize in you, that perhaps your predominant approach or style is this. Great. Thank you. So I'd like to hear from you, then I'd like to move on. So what would you like to say?
Well, my experience is that a lesser kind of disconnection than it is judging. But if it kind of escalates to a feeling of conflict, and often it's just in me, I know, I have a physical sensation of like red light flashing, like a warning. And it's like I'm looking for the closest exit sign. I just want to get out of there.
Okay. Yeah, that sort of warning sign, physical, and then this desire to get out, to escape, to leave. Okay. Okay. Thank you for that. So there's a couple of other questions. I mean, these are entryways into staying in connected to the present moment. Is my heart open? Is my heart closed? Another one that I used a long time ago that I often connect to, which is the essence of the question, is am I enjoying myself? That doesn't mean that am I having a pleasant feeling, but am I enjoying myself in terms of am I present? Am I feeling fully what is present? Am I fully alive? Which is actually a more accurate question. So that's another question. And of course, the one that I found very commonly in NVC, which is what is alive in me? So it's also been important for me to remember with myself and others, just really go down to the heart of our humanity to remember that we are all vulnerable and in need of love. We may not be in touch consciously with our vulnerability, but that there is always that dimension of our being wherein we are vulnerable and in need of love. We are all vulnerable and need love. So I just want to go over, there's the essential consciousness that I talked about, and these are some essential practices. Of course, there's more practice that's implied in that, but these are the entryway into it. And then another element I want to name, which is community. What I mean by that is that if we want to live this, the essence of nonviolent, compassionate communication, live our passion and our compassion, we need others. We cannot do it alone. We need the support of like-minded people. We need a community of people, even if it's only one other person, two or more people, that share our vision and our values for life. This, for me, is so essential. And I think to recognize it has been very important for me, to recognize that sometimes I'm just needing another person just to be with, not necessarily even to process. So the element of community for me is also important to identify as essential to a spiritual life practice. I'm going to pause for a moment. I see a hand up. I just wanted to check with you.
Yeah, I just really struggle with that question, like, am I enjoying myself? You know, because, you know, we all have a lot of things that are really painful, and I may have a different sense of enjoying yourself, but when I'm feeling really sad about something that I'm grieving for, I'm not enjoying myself.
I have a different definition of enjoyment than it sounds like you do. When I am grieving, that is a form of enjoyment. It's not the conventional definition I have of enjoyment, meaning pleasant feelings. I'm using the word enjoyment not necessarily as pleasant feelings. That's why I qualified it as, am I fully alive? When I am in my sadness, not suffering, but truly sad, my heart is open and I'm feeling warm and soft, and I really feel alive. For me, that is a form of deep enjoyment, distinguishing it from what I consider to be the conventional definition of pleasant feelings. Is that helpful to sort of kind of frame it in that way? Actually, it's probably more accurate to use the word enjoyment in quotes because it has a very specific meaning.
Yeah, I think the term enjoyment is hard. It seemed pretty superficial to say, you know, like, yeah, I'm not going to go through life trying to enjoy every minute. You know, no, it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. Well, again, of course, that's if I use what I consider to be the conventional definition. But for me, with this process, I often find myself seeing words and defining them in what I consider to be full and deep way. And so, but of course, I'm not denying that meaning of enjoyment, of course. But just for living this practice, you could use whatever word you want that is meaningful to you.
Okay. Thank
you. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to pause because it looks like there is a question.
No, Robert, that was just a comment to enjoying. My practice buddy and I were just going on about that. And if you excuse the language, both of us sometimes have a similar reaction to the question, which runs around the lines of, what the fuck, you know? If I'm asking myself, am I enjoying myself? And I
say,
no, I'm not. I go with that. Actually, that's a really nice way to use this question. To see, oh, there's something alive in me. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because if you're not, see, there's an extension. I'm glad you brought this up because there is a, again, going back to the twofold practice, if I'm enjoying myself, then I live in that flow. I celebrate it. I express gratitude. But if I'm not enjoying myself, then I want to bring compassion to that. There's always something to do. That's why this question is valuable. I want to self-responsibly recognize my own judgment, my own resistance, my own constriction. And if I want to be full in my approach to my own living, then I approach the non-enjoyment with compassion. Great.
And that's why the question really helps.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Great. And so I want to identify these things first, and then I move into a whole group exercise that's very much in the same territory we're talking about. But one of the things that, you know, throughout the course of my living my own practice and teaching nonviolent communication and living compassion, it's been really important for me to identify what are those things that disconnect me from life, that disconnect me from myself. Now, I found that there's only four things that can do that, four experiences, and everything falls under this category. That's just my finding. You might find slightly different. But one of the most important things for me, the number one on this, that wasn't always obvious to me is that when my internal resources are not full, when my tank is close to empty, meaning if I'm physically tired or even emotionally tired or I'm physically ill, that's when it's much more easy to be in a reactive state. I'm much more sensitive. So the jackals come out a lot more voraciously, I think, if I'm tired or I'm ill. There's another resource called time, that if it seems that, now I'll put it in quotes because it's a jackal definition, the jackal way of characterizing time, which is, I don't have enough time. There's too many things to do. So the reframing of that would be, there's more things in the moment that I have chosen to engage in than there is time to do or attend to in this moment. So whenever that is short, whenever there are more things in front of me to do than I know how to do in this moment, that is a taxing on a certain resource. That's when I'm tending to be reactive. So all of this is a category number one. So I'd like to go on to the just quickly naming the other three things that disconnect me. The first one was when my tank is not full, my internal resources, my energy is low, I'm sick, there's time challenge. Number two is when I'm attached to an outcome, I notice. When there's desperation and I have to have some strategy or some outcome, that for me, that attachment is a disconnection from the full flow. Number three is when I am stuck in my judgments and stories. I don't know how to free myself from it. I seem to be just stuck in my reactivity. That's number three. Number four, which could be related to some of the others, I may not necessarily be in judgment, but I don't know how to connect to my feelings and needs. I'm not aware of what I'm feeling necessarily. I don't know what that is. I'm not aware of what my needs are, what I'm valuing or longing for. I'm just not connected. So those are the four things that I have found that disconnect me from life flow, from myself. Just want to pause, make sure that I'm being clear, any responses or questions. And all of these things are elements that help just for self-recognition, self-awareness. Okay.
Could you say something more to point four? When I don't know what I need, is it something like an inner silence?
I'm not sure what you mean by inner silence, but if I'm not aware of what I'm needing in any given event, then that's a form of disconnection. So maybe pausing and going inward, inner connection through inner silence, can be a way to recovering what I'm needing. You know, or maybe connecting with another person, simply engaging and asking for empathy can be another way of helping me to get connected to what I'm needing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to guide the whole group into a whole group exercise, and then perhaps, I'm not sure how it's going to go, ask an individual to have me guide you through that, then we'll do a paired exercise. Everything we've been doing today is about what can be called tracking or acknowledging. Is my heart open? Is my heart closed? It's a way of staying aware, keeping track of the quality of my experience. There's three primary areas or dimensions of our experiencing in this work. One is our essential aliveness, the pure flow of life, joy, creativity, compassion, all of that. That's one specific characteristic experience. Then another one, which can include part of that, which is what I call vulnerability. Vulnerability is, it has particular qualities, perhaps of fragility or tenderness. Maybe there's a vulnerable fear, something softer and warmer in my vulnerability. And there's the other one that I think we're very familiar with, which is what I call the protective and defensive zone. It's those places out of which judgment comes. It's the place where I feel tight and constricted, the place that I call suffering when I'm separate. I'm in separation from others. I want things to go my way. I want to do it right. I'm trying to convince others, judging myself or others as good and bad, right and wrong, etc. That's the protective and defensive mode. So these three different zones. So what I'd like to ask everyone to do is right now, whatever is in your experience now. Now, what can be in your experience might be a residue of a recent experience. If you've had a recent experience that is still left over, tune into that, what you're feeling right now about it. It can be anything. Maybe sitting here in this class. Maybe an element of something that was said by me or someone else. But bring your awareness into whatever you are experiencing right now. And the first thing is to notice the feeling, sensing, thinking. This is bringing your attention to any protection or defensiveness. Feel any at all tightness, constriction, judging voice, judging thoughts. If you do, acknowledge what you're feeling, experiencing. Let yourself feel it. Don't do anything with it. This is just a tracking exercise. Allow it to do what it does if it changes. Any judging of yourself or others? Just a noticing. And then a slight shift is that my experience is right on the edge, right underneath any protection or defensiveness, there's vulnerability, if you can tune into it. Can you feel right underneath any defensiveness or tightness, vulnerability, softness, warmth, perhaps the vulnerability of sadness or disheartenment? Notice if there's any of these qualities. Sense and feel into it. And then the doorway into essence from this is to, in the vulnerability, is there something that this vulnerability deeply wants or longs for? Is there a yearning for acceptance, a yearning for love, a yearning for peace or freedom? You feel the essence of your being. Just allow what's there. Your attention might shift from the different places. It might move from the holding defensive jackal place into vulnerability, back into jackal. You might sense the longing. So it might move around. So being with this, acknowledging this is a fairly short exercise. It's a sort of a delving into this area that we'll go deeper into. So I'd like to pause and ask for a bit of feedback and sharing in this guided exercise. If there's any questions you have about this exercise or any sharing for anything you experienced.
Actually, I felt a little confused in that exercise because what was really alive in me was something really positive that had happened recently, and so it didn't really flow with what you were...
Yeah, let me just do a quick review for you. Well, in my asking, there are three zones. The first one was protection, the second was vulnerability, the third one was essence. So when I asked, is there any protection, you would simply say no. There's nothing there. It's an acknowledgement. This is tracking. So you said it was positive, so your experience was different than what I was asking. There's no tightness. And then we go into vulnerability. So there might be something there that you may not necessarily name as vulnerability. When you say positive, what is your feeling experience?
I feel lighthearted and happy.
Okay. Now, can you even pause and go deeper into the felt sense of your lightheartedness and your happiness? Can you feel that in your heart?
Yeah.
Okay. Does there feel any kind of warmth or softness? Openness,
yeah.
Flow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So I hear that as you can feel what you're feeling as happy, as lighthearted, that energy, because there's an openness, there's an open flow in your heart. That's mm-hmm. what I call vulnerability. There's vulnerability in that. And actually, happiness touches the other part of what I call essence. I'm guessing happiness gives you, it's just this, I'm just guessing that it's a really full, open-hearted, maybe even radiant experience in you. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be the feeling part. You could even name what is the need that is fulfilled in this experience. Are you able to identify?
Support. It was support.
Support, okay. So sometimes for me, naming that need, support, can you feel how you value support? Can you feel the beauty that's inherent in that experience of support?
Mm-hmm.
How does that feel in your body?
I'm actually feeling a little anxious about talking to you, and that's kind of overwhelming that. So I feel a little, naughty in the stomach, in fact.
Ah, okay. So actually, if I were to take the time with you now, we could even go through that experience because that anxiousness is a form of tightness and contraction.
Right.
I see that as a form of protection. So just that, just the fact that you could recognize and acknowledge that with me right now, for me, I really view that as a very valuable form of self-awareness. So that's all I wanted right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see any other hands up in relation to that guided exercise. Okay. I'm wondering if there is one person I'd like to do, not along, but a little bit of an exercise in guiding someone through these different areas of experience. I call them zones of experience. And then I'd like to ask you to do this in pairs. I see one hand up already. Are you volunteering?
I think so.
Okay. Do you think so? Okay. Well, here's the thing. We're going to ask you some questions around what you're experiencing right now. The first place to start is just for you to share what is happening in your experience.
I'm just aware that there's a residue of a conversation from a couple days ago that's about protection. I guess I'm feeling that residue of protectiveness.
Okay. Are you feeling that now?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So those of you who are listening, take note of the questions for your practice in pairs. They're very basic questions. The first thing is in what you call, it's left over, but you're feeling right now the sense of protection. First, I'm going to ask you, what are you thinking, evaluating, or judging? Just to name them.
I think the main judgment is that another person wasn't holding my needs with care as I was theirs. So just kind of feeling like, wow, how can they be that?
So notice this is an important shift. You're saying this in the form of a question, which often our jackal says in the form of questions. Mm. How can they do that? If you can translate that into more of where the jackal really lives, I think, is in the statement. He, she wasn't caring for me as I was caring for them.
Yeah, like, wow, that is mind-blowing that could happen.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm wondering if this fits. They should have been caring for me.
Oh, yeah.
So notice the should thought. Okay, so that's the thought. He, she, is it just generally, if you don't mind, he or she just makes it simple.
She
should have been caring for me as I was caring for her.
Yeah.
Okay, just as this isn't about changing it. This exercise is just about tracking it. Now, the other part of this experience is, with this experience, what are you feeling emotionally? She should have been caring for me.
Hurt, a bit of being stunned, a bit of, like, just wanting space, wanting to limit my extending myself, like contracting away, I guess.
Okay. So notice there's hurt and stunned, but there's also what it sounds like is I want to get away.
Yeah.
To protect myself. Okay. There's that tendency, I'm reframing this, but it's important for all of us to be aware of this. There's a tendency to either withdraw or to attack, avoid or to attack, to submit or rebel. So I'm sensing you that there's, I want to get away, and the protective mind usually says, I want to be safe, so I'm going to get away.
Yeah.
Okay. So and then even notice in all of this experience, your body sensations.
In my solar plexus area, there's like a bit of nausea, or dizzying, vertigo, kind of spinning.
Okay. All right, great. Again, notice that this whole zone, we dipped a little bit into vulnerability, but mostly as protection. The thinking, judging, she should have been more caring, the emotional feeling of stun, but also the sense of wanting to get away, and the feeling of nausea and that sensation in your stomach. You just notice that, acknowledge it, and then we shift into a little place called vulnerability, a slightly different place. Now, notice if you could stay with the feeling sense in everything you're feeling here. Allow it. Open to it in an undefended way. Do you feel any tenderness or fragility in your body or in your being?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let yourself feel that. Does it feel kind of raw?
It feels very raw.
Allow yourself to feel the body sensations. Breathe and feel them. Okay. What does it feel like now? Just share the quality of your experience.
It's just kind of strange, but it feels like a tingling kind of sense.
Okay. Yeah, you just sort of note that. You be with the experience and you note that this is the sense of a different quality of this vulnerable, maybe fragile, tingling feeling in your body. So I'm not going to just stay here. I'm just ask you to delve into perhaps a deeper thread in this. Is that, do you have a sense that this is a hurt, a wounded part, perhaps a very young child part of your experience that you feel?
Yeah, I raised my hand because I was noticing that this is an old story.
So it's not only the story, but it's the feeling experience of vulnerability or woundedness. And you just notice that and you be with this child part. and be with this child part, and then ask this child, or ask the hurt, wounded part, what is this longing for in this experience of vulnerability? What is the hurt or the child longing for? And ask yourself that. Feel into it.
I think to matter and and to be kind of seen and have my experience be, I guess, have some significance for the other person.
So long for mattering, to be seen, that there's a meaning or significance that the other person holds you with mattering and with care.
Yeah.
You feel a longing for that.
Yeah.
You can stay with the longing. I know that I may be moving through this rather quickly, but you can just stay with this and notice the longing for mattering and for care and to be seen. Do you sense a preciousness in this mattering?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let yourself feel the preciousness of it, the beauty of this.
Yeah, there's a sense of how succulent that is when there's like a tenderness between, that's a flow between two people.
Yeah, so beautiful. This for me is that third dimension that I call essence. It's that preciousness, so you call that succulence, which actually moves in the tenderness of the vulnerability, but it's also, as I hear it, the quality of the preciousness and the beauty inherent in this longing.
Yeah, I mean, it's so wild because now I can tap into maybe what I was hoping for or what I've experienced in others or even in this relationship at times. I can see how it's sort of like when you're driving and the weather's beautiful and there's good music on and the sun's shining versus when the car breaks down and there's an accident and there's just a flow.
Great, beautiful. Okay, well, thank you. I really appreciate your being willing to volunteer. I'd like to take just a few minutes just to hear if there's any feedback from anybody in being witness to observing my working with Pamela. And then we'll do the practice in pairs. Okay, I see one hand.
Just real quick, Pamela's question was, it was my question also.
Uh-huh.
And when I was looking at that, even before this conversation, once again took me back to the core issues that I seem to be tracking to and going to. So my question would be, and this is probably a whole nother session, but then how to really heal that core issue in a level that maybe it never goes away. Maybe I just become aware of it and it doesn't trigger as much anymore.
Let me respond to you. This is a much longer question, but I want to name the essential qualities. How do you heal this core issue? When I hear core issue, I hear core belief, that there's a belief that you have as a core belief through which you experience these events in your life that get re-stimulated. So the core belief is transformed over time by doing this process when it's re-stimulated. Over time, you will come to the thread of longing that is connected to the core belief. Now, I could take a lot of time to express that, but I just want to at least simply define the principle. That if you stay with this process and come to it over and over again when you are re-stimulated, my experience is that it will gradually transform. So, okay, so you are in pairs now. And I want to do just a quick review. You might not be able to go into depth, but I just want to name that each person, name what are you experiencing either right now, meaning this moment, is there a residue from a previous experience? In other words, start with what's alive. And then you're going through noticing. This isn't about transforming, just noticing and naming. The protective defensive mode. What are you thinking, judging? Then what are you feeling emotionally? Then what are you feeling in your body? Those are the three dimensions. And then notice, then you say, now we go into vulnerability. Allow yourself to feel the vulnerable feeling behind the protection in it. Does he feel any softness or tenderness? Is there any sort of rawness or woundedness there? Just name it. Is there a young part of you? And then notice if there's a deep longing in this woundedness or vulnerability. Those are the questions. And then the longing will take you to essence. In the longing, what are you longing for? Care, mattering. Name it, feel it as much as you're able to. Feel the preciousness of what you're longing for. And just allow that. So that's for each person. I see one hand up. Question, do you have questions?
I do. In the last, I think her name was Pamela, her longing was about something from outside herself, longing to matter to somebody else.
Yeah.
When do you know whether to stay with that or to go with something that she might be longing within herself?
Well, for me, there appears to be a difference, but you go deeply into it, there is no difference. So she said mattering from someone else, but when she touches that mattering, she's feeling it now, in this moment, it is within herself. Simply a subtle mental orientation that I want to matter from someone else. Now, it's an important difference, but one of the things you can ask yourself, if it sounds like I want to care in relation to someone else, I want to get it from someone else, then notice the feeling of caring or mattering that you're wanting. Feel the energy of mattering that you're wanting. So that's what I think that the essence of connecting to this is we want to connect with the energy of mattering. Now, it may be that I connect to that by remembering that in that instance, I was wanting it from someone else, but it takes me to the feeling energy of mattering by itself.
Yeah, I matter. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I know we don't have a lot of time, but at least those three zones. So whenever you're ready, you can begin the practice in your pairs. Okay, this is a time I'd like to hear how this exercise went for you all. Just either sharing or questions. So, okay, I think there is one hand right now.
I really got a lot of new insights from doing that. And really recognizing how I am holding this need in such a precious way that I didn't even realize.
Yes. Okay. That's wonderful. I always love hearing the value of these kinds of exercises. Thank you. This is great. Okay. Let's see. I think there's another hand up.
I found it very valuable, and I also noticed how difficult it was for me to be vulnerable, especially when my partner did his. And he was just able to really touch into that vulnerability. And
yeah.
I guess that kind of triggered me and some other judgments of myself of how
okay.
my longing to be vulnerable.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for sharing that. Just one thought in what you said that. It's almost everything that comes up can be a point of awareness and practice. So when you say it was difficult for you to be vulnerable, that very experience that you are characterizing as difficult is something you can enter into. You can feel, are there judgments there, just like you said. So every point can be a point of entry.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm just really celebrating the noticing of when I find connection to some degree to the beauty of the need and the longing inside of me, how often it moves me towards the other person, and I just naturally move to a curiosity about what's alive in them, and do I want to move forward with that, or is it enough to be with it from my own understanding? And that's just a really huge, huge awareness for me.
Yeah.
I'm just so grateful for.
Beautiful. I love hearing that, and I just want to confirm. So much have I heard that and experienced that in myself that it sounds as though it's as though it's a principle, and the way I would name that principle is when I touch into the beauty of my need, it stimulates natural compassion. I found that over and over again. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time. I'm going to ask you to be in pairs again. And this is for evaluation or assessment or integration question for the entire six-week class. It's a way of naming and acknowledging. Here's what I'd like each partner to answer in your pair and then come into the group. I'd like to hear from just a handful of people. There's a number of questions you can ask. It's kind of like, what am I integrating from this class? Or what's the most important element of what I've experienced in this class? What's staying with you that is valuable? And with that, what do you think is the most important thing that I'd like to remember and to practice? You know, it's just a number of questions, but it goes to the essence of what am I taking from this class that's been valuable, and what's the most important thing that came from it, and what would I like to remember and practice? So naming and acknowledging this at the end of a course like this, I think, is important. So I'm hoping that's clear. And so to touch into that and name it, you can start the group. So I'm hoping that that last exercise and just simply reviewing and acknowledging what has been valuable for you, what's staying with you, was important for you. And I would love to just hear from perhaps 3, maybe 4 people who would care to share anything that is there for you that was really valuable for this class and that really stays with you. It really helps me to know what has been served by this class. You have your hand up. I'd love to hear from you.
I really got that things are just thoughts. I was going into a parking lot, and I didn't know who had the right of way, and out of the blue pops, I can't do anything right. And a couple of days later, when I woke up in the morning, it was like, oh, it's just a thought. It's not the truth about me. It's just a thought.
Yeah. Beautiful. I imagine that was pretty liberating to experience that.
It was. And I know that it comes from cultivating some spaciousness within myself.
Yeah. Yes.
So thank you very much.
Beautiful. That's, in my view, a pretty big, huge thing to carry with you. Okay. Let's see if there's anyone else who cares who's moved to say anything.
Hi, Robert. I wanted to say that I'm intensely grateful to show me ways of integrating NVC consciousness and just having tools to keep checking in to see if I'm there. It's just been really a huge part of my growth. I also wanted to tell you that my experiences in the dyads and in my empathy buddy calls have been huge, and that while teleseminars may have some limitations, I really felt I was connecting with people very deeply, and there was some real resonance and understanding and supporting each other. And I've had some amazing, amazing experiences in those. So while you might be in the instructor's chair, I just wanted to let you know it is a powerful experience for me.
Thank you, and I so appreciate your feedback. I'd like to just quickly hear from 2 more people, and then we'll finish.
I had this experience where, I had a fight with somebody, and they hung up on me. I was waiting for them to apologize. And, like, the whole day I was, like, irritated because they didn't. And then I had this thought that it was like, I know she's going to, and, like, I don't even need her to. I mean, I didn't have it till after it actually happened. But, you know, it's like, I know how that feels, and I know it's going to happen, and I know what it's going to feel like. So why do I have to, like, rest in that being dependent on the outcome? That was really powerful for me.
Beautiful. All right. That's wonderful. So thank you all for participating in this class. I just so hope that the value you got is something that you can continue to apply and integrate into your life. So I look forward to any future contact, and just want to know that I'm inspired by doing this work, and doing this work in this teleclass continues to be inspiring for me. I think it's important that I remember to dedicate this work as something that universally ties us to all human longings and to our human needs. And it's really important for me to remember this. So in dedication to this work around the world, that there be more compassion and more life for people. Thank you all for participating. We'll continue the work.